All right, what's going on? It's your boy, Keep It Mike. You listen to 102.9 Tape Deck. And you know me. If you know me, you know that I'm representing Cuba 100% to the fullest. Last week, I had out there in the show, and he gave us her 2 cents of what's going on in Cuba, his sentiments, and everything's going on. Y por mi segunda vez, voy a meter mano a hablar español con mi gente. Yo sé que a veces mi español es un poquito fatal, pero a mí me importa porque con esta situación es para. Es para hablar con mi gente y para la gente en Boston, la que no sabe lo que no está pasando aquí. Y yo tengo aquí un artista, and he is hip hop royalty at the moment in Cuba. And I got el Funky in the business. ¿Cómo está Funky?
Dímelo, mi hermano, bendiciones. Gracias siempre por la
Bendice.
invitación.
Peace, 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 man. Y otra vez, gracias. Yo sé que usted es un hombre muy súper ocupado. So gracias por coger tu tiempo para hablar con la gente de Boston. Y quiero decir una cuanta pregunta. Después del marzo de 17, yo le expliqué a la gente de Boston la situación, lo que pasó en Cuba, que había otra protesta súper grande. Yo creo que esta fue la segunda protesta que pasó en Cuba, que fue súper grande desde julio 11. So, al momento, ¿cómo te sientes, tus sentimientos y todo lo que pasó al momento?
Sí, ya tú lo dices, vuelve a suceder otra pequeña manifestación en Cuba. El pueblo ya está en un estado de descontento, ya yo diría que óptimo ya. Y nada, va a seguir pasando, va a seguir pasando hasta que eso reviente totalmente. Porque ya han perdido el miedo, ya el pueblo se está manifestando, ya está exigiendo ya su derecho ya, y eso es muy importante.
Ahora, cuando eso pasó el 17 y yo estaba trabajando y todo el mundo por el red me mandó un mensaje, me mandó unos videos. Cuando tú viste los otros videos, ¿dónde tú estabas y cómo te sentiste al momento cuando tuviste esa manifestación en Cuba?
Sí, yo estaba creo que trabajando y me empiezan a escribir de Cuba y me empiezan a avisar, esto fue en Santiago de Cuba, por la parte del cobre. Y empiezo a animarme, empiezo a escribirle también a varias personas importantes en Cuba, gente que está pendiente a las cosas que sucedan y nada, nosotros, en la labor de nosotros, la función de nosotros estando fuera de Cuba es empezar a darle ánimo a ese pueblo y empezar a apoyarlo en todo lo que tengamos al alcance, poder guiarlo, porque tú sabes, Cuba no está acostumbrado a hacer manifestaciones y a ver de qué manera ya puede ser de una que eso termine, ¿entiendes? Entonces es importante que los cubanos que estén fuera de la isla empezar a apoyar a esas masas y empezar a orientarlas.
Okay. Una cosa que yo vi en el internet, que hay mucha gente que está muy en español, en inglés se llama optimistic,
Optimista.
optimista, sí. Que eso va a fallar y una cuanta gente que todavía está pensando un poquito negativo, que está diciendo que eso no va a parar nada, que todo va a ser lo mismo, que eso fue a un momento porque la gente tiene hambre. ¿Qué tú quieres decir para la gente que todavía está pensando negativo, que eso no va a cambiar, que va a estar lo mismo y para qué la gente va para la calle? Porque hay gente en el internet diciendo que para qué no va para la calle, que si nada va a cambiar.
Bueno, esa gente debe de primeramente darse cuenta de que está pasando y es real y todo tiene un final. Por supuesto que hay un séquito de cubanos que tienen la posibilidad de recibir la ayuda de otros países y no les interesa, por supuesto, que eso cambie, pero es que eso va a cambiar, es por lógica, porque ya estamos viendo ya que está saliendo el pueblo por alimento. Mañana van a salir con medicamentos y pasado van a salir porque no tienen electricidad. Y todo eso se va a juntar y es lo que va a crear el estallido social. Lo que pasa es que ellos piensan que como eso lleva más de 60 años, piensan que eso es inquebrantable, pero nada, aquí como dice la Biblia, nada es para siempre y va a haber un final, va a haber un final y ya se están viendo los destellos. Es la realidad.
Okay. Una cosa, porque yo no nací en Cuba, yo nací aquí en la Yuma, como dicen nosotros, yo nací en la Yuma, pero una de las razones que yo quiero para luchar por mi gente es porque mis padres se fueron de Cuba y nunca regresaron. Y mi abuelito falleció en octubre, y cuando falleció, él nunca fue para Cuba, y nunca tenía la oportunidad de regresar, y nunca conoció a su nieta, porque tenía una nieta ahí y nunca la conoció. Y yo le quiero decirte a ti las gracias, porque la canción Patria y Vida es una canción súper, súper, súper importante para la gente, para nosotros. Ya yo tengo como tres camisas ya gritando con la Patria y Vida. O sea, ya tú sabes que yo soy gusano. Yo ni así en Cuba, pero me siento súper gusano al momento, porque vi para Cuba, yo, como dice en inglés, I'm going all out. Porque
Exacto.
yo tengo que apoyar a la gente. Y la cosa que mis padres sufrieron y mis abuelos que sufrieron, que hay que hacer cambio y quitar el régimen y ¿cómo le digo? Y acabar ese descaro, porque ya después de 60 y pico de años, ya la gente quiere cambio. Y por el récord, la gente no están gritando porque tienen hambre o porque quieren medicina, ya quiere sacar ese descaro del régimen.
Exactamente.
So, yo quiero decirte súper, súper, súper thank you, gracias por hacer esa canción, porque es súper importante, muy importante para nosotros, y gracias por esa canción, brother.
Nada, mi
Mira,
hermano, yo pienso que yo, por ejemplo, mi parte, la que yo escribí, era lo que estaba viviendo en ese momento, era lo que estaba pasando y es lo que sigue sucediendo por más de 60 años en... Y todo es lo que tú dices, todos los que tenemos raíces cubanas nos vamos a sentir identificados con esa canción, ya que vamos a aplastar esa consigna tan obsoleta, tan obtusa que es patria o muerte, porque realmente después de la muerte no hay nada, nosotros
no hay
queremos
nada.
vida. ¿Entiendo?
So, súper.
Así que nada,
Súper.
fue algo que me tocó y asumí mi responsabilidad y de verdad agradecido estoy. Porque la gente le ha llegado esa canción de verdad
Y
y
gracias,
todo lo que
súper gracias, man.
significa.
Gracias, súper gracias, man. Súper thank you, man, por esta canción. Cuando esto pasó, yo vi que mucha gente estaba hablando de Luis Ferrer, porque había rumores que algo le pasó en el momento. Pero una cosa que yo vi que era súper interesante, nadie nos está hablando de Mikey Osorbo. So, mi pregunta es, no, ¿cuál es el status de Mikey Osorbo al momento? Si alguien
Mira,
sabe lo que...
el estado de Michael ahora es bastante delicado, está bastante delgado, ya que la comida ahí es bastante, o yo diría que la comida no sirve. Ellos se alimentan como si fueran animales, ¿me entiendes? Incluso hasta con peste la comida. Muchas veces no le dejan entrar la comida de la calle, que es la que le podemos mandar nosotros, se la quitan, se la decomisan, se la botan. Pero ellos están muy firmes en su posición. Yo siempre trato de mandarle ánimo, de mandarle cosas, noticias interesantes e importantes para él, para que él se sienta feliz, para que no se sienta solo. El apoyo también de mucha gente que pregunta por él. Y desgraciadamente hay veces que las redes son utilizadas de otra manera, entonces no le prestamos atención a otras cosas menos importantes porque funciona así. Y ojalá todo el mundo virara la cabeza y se dieran cuenta de que tenemos personas que están presas por exigir una libertad, tenemos artistas, tenemos músico, deportista, incluso preso todavía del 11 de julio, han pasado casi 3 años de lo del 11 y se va a seguir repitiendo. Es importante que la gente no olvide que hay gente presa por exigir un cambio en Cuba. Y esa es la situación de Michael.
Y okay, voy a decir algo en inglés para my American audience, para la gente que son americanos, que no entienden lo que está pasando. All right, guys, he's explaining of a rapper named Mikey Osorbo. He's in the song Pati Vida. Hold on one second, guys. Con Mikey, si me recuerdo bien, cuando ustedes hicieron esa canción, fue como Si me recuerdo el año pasado cuando tú me hiciste la estación, la entrevista, usted le hicieron esta canción, pero fue como en secreto en Cuba. So, nadie sabía de la canción, ¿verdad?
Sí, totalmente
Totalmente.
en secreto, sí.
Ok. So, el Funky and this rapper, Mikey O'Sullivan, they're Grammy Award-winning rappers with the group Gente de Sol en December. They did the song Patria y Vida and they did it in secrecy in Cuba. So when they did the song that nobody knew that was gonna come out, they were all were able to like leave Cuba, but Mikey O'Sullivan was the only one that couldn't get out. And at this moment, this song that he did, Patria y Vida, basically gave him jail time because he was basically telling like, you know, the government let us free. And ¿cuántos años tiene Mikey en la cárcel al momento?
Michael lleva 2 años, casi tres.
¿Y cuánto le falta? ¿Cuántos años le echaron en Cuba?
9 años.
So, off this song that he did, guys, that was in secrecy because he wanted to get in trouble, it pretty much cost him 9 years of his life. So, right now, he's doing 9 years because of this song. Right now, he's doing 2 years and he got seven more to complete. So, this is the issue that people in Cuba have to go through. You know, we can't even express ourselves the way we want to because this system pretty much got us with duct tapes in our mouth, you know. They got us with duct tapes in our mouth, and the second we say something, we basically go to jail because we're speaking against them. And we're not threatening them. We're not speaking, you know, violence. We're just asking for a change. So this artist sacrificed basically his life to do this song, and now it cost him damn near 10 years off this song. So this is the message we try to preach to the people out there. So, you know, free Mikey Osobi and free Luis Manuel. And you know, we are with you. We are with you to the end. You're not alone. Está bien. So, la semana pasada había un evento en Miami con Orlando y Kiel. Yo vi el video. Shout out to Kiel and shout out to Orlando. Por encima la gente en Boston que fue en el evento que usted
Este
estaba.
evento, sí, este evento se hace a raíz de las mismas manifestaciones que estaban ocurriendo ahora en Santiago de Cuba. Y entonces Orlando Boronat, que es una figura del exilio cubano, el cual lleva el proyecto del paro nacional, que él me había pedido que hiciera una canción sobre esto, y creo que era un momento súper importante para lanzar esa canción, porque paro nacional significa la solución para que colapse el sistema cubano. Es decir, no van los niños a las escuelas, no se va a los centros de trabajo y todo se concentra en un lugar. Puede ser en un parque, en donde sea, puede ser por 3 días, 4 días, hasta incluso una semana, y se va a ver el cambio al momento porque el país va a colapsar. Entonces yo hice desde mi trinchera, desde mi arte, hice esta canción y se lanzó ese día con ese objetivo de apoyar a esas manifestaciones y de darle como dato de que la solución absoluta es un paro nacional.
Perfecto, perfecto. Ya, pues eso es todo lo que te quería decir, man. Funky, gracias por coger tu minuto para hablar con nosotros, la gente de Boston.
Gracias, gracias a ti, mi hermano, coño, siempre aquí. Tú sabes, esto es un poco enredado porque uno hace muchas cosas, el trabajo, la música, la casa, la familia, pero siempre se trata de buscar un huequito, como decimos los cubanos. Gracias a ti, mi hermano, por la invitación y tú sabes, seguimos súper conectados. Patria y
Ok,
vida.
Pati, antes que lo vamos, una pregunta más, dos preguntas, oh, tres. Número uno, ¿tú crees que por fin vamos a tener una Free Cuba, una Cuba libre por fin, antes que lo
Sí,
vamos
claro
de
que
este
sí.
mundo?
Claro que sí, que vamos a tener una Cuba libre porque esta nueva generación que está en la isla saben y conocen que en Cuba no hay un futuro, que en Cuba no hay sueño y ellos mismos ya conocen que hay una dictadura en su propio país.
Okay.
Y estamos viendo visiblemente todas las manifestaciones, así que el estallido social está muy cerca, así que sí, vamos a ver una Cuba libre, claro que sí, muy pronto.
Amén, amén. Número dos, tú sabes que Ojalá en el verano tú tienes que hacer un podcast conmigo porque yo quiero hablar de mucho hip hop de Cuba y de americanos. O uno de estos días yo quiero hacer un podcast contigo, hablar contigo de más de una hora mínimo, y hablar de todas las cosas que son hip hop y coger la historia de usted para hablar, para coger toda la historia para la gente de Boston y
Claro
para
que
tener más
sí.
conocimiento.
Claro, mi hermano, vamos a coordinar eso porque es importante apoyar a ese género urbano que hay en Cuba, los raperos que quedan en Cuba. Hay muchos raperos también jugándose la vida porque tocar la realidad de Cuba ya es un peligro.
Y
Y lo están haciendo.
mi tercera pregunta. Cuando llega a Miami, hay que comprar, hay que beber un mojito, algo así, una Cuba Libre, un mojito, algo así, para sentirme más cubano cuando llego para Miami.
Sí, claro que sí. Mira, de hecho, yo voy a tener los últimos viernes del mes, voy a tener como especie de una descarga. Yo voy a estar ahí todos los últimos viernes del mes, que es en la calle 8, es en la 10 y la 8. Es una galería, un lugar pequeño, íntimo. Y, brother, ahí tienes que ir a tomar mojito, a tomar Cuba Libre, a escuchar rap cubano. Claro que sí, tienes que pasar por ahí.
Perfecto, cuando me saco de aquí, de este video aquí, vamos a hablar en el Instagram y coger más información, y ahí vamos a coger la información en LinkUp, como dicen los americanos, LinkUp, para coger esa sabrosura, como dicen los otros, pero Funky, thank you, man, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been El Funky. He took his time to talk to us, and please support his music. We're going to go into one of his joints right now. Paro Nacional, wait. Paro Nacional.
Paro
Esa canción.
Nacional.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that joint right now. This your boy, keep it mic. Listen to 102.9 Tape Deck. And we ain't gonna stop here till we see you free Cuba. If you're a communist, you're no longer my friend. And you could.
Ni un minuto más de rodilla. Cuba será libre. Paro Nacional.
Ni un minuto más de rodilla. Cuba será libre. Paro Nacional.
Ni un rato más de rodilla. Cuba será libre. Paro Nacional.
Cuba será libre. Paro Nacional. Patria y vida y libertad.
No hay gobierno que resista ni que aguante esa presión. Cuba lo que lleve es un parón. Ya está bueno de miseria y de tanta represión. Cuba lo que lleve es un parón. Suelten a los inocentes que tienen en la prisión. Cuba lo que lleve es un parón. Y levántate, cubano, que el poder está en la unión. Cubano, vamos a tirarnos pa' un malecón. De las manos hacia la misma dirección, todo el mundo dando el berro sentado en el malecón, la población en manifestación por la situación, a una acción, una reacción, la solución, parón, bajo presión, haciendo que colapse la nación, te han violado los derechos y la libertad de expresión, cuántos muertos en el mar, inocentes en prisión, varón, lo que toca es tomar acción.
Demasiado abuso.
Ni que aguante esa presión. Cuba lo que lleve es un parón. Ya está bueno de miseria y de tanta represión. Cuba lo que lleve es un parón. Suelten a los inocentes que tienen en la prisión. Cuba lo que lleve es un parón. Y levántate, cubano, que el poder está en la unión. Cubano, vamos a tirarnos pa' un malecón.
El paro va a ser donde quiera, cada vez que podamos. En cualquier momento, todos los días, hasta que el régimen caiga.
This your boy Cuban Mike, and right now we're about to drop an interview right now, and we're dropping some gems here. Check this out. What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Cuban Mike. You listen to 102.9 Tape Deck, and this is the trilogy of the manifestation in Cuba, episode 3. I pretty much made my own trilogy for the radio show because, you know, I fight for liberation in Cuba and it won't stop but the dictatorship falls down. Right now, I have a man who's very important to the community, a pillar to the community, And it's crazy because this thing called the internet takes you a lot of places, and you end up meeting people that you never think you'll meet. You see them on TV and on YouTube, and you know, just with the connection and networking, you meet some great people. He is one of them. His name is Dr. Orlando Gutierrez Borona. ¿Cómo está, hermano?
Muy bien, hermano. Glad to be here.
Yes, thank you for taking time off this busy schedule. I know you have a lot going on, so I won't waste your time and get to it. First and foremost, how do you feel after the last 2 weeks going on after March 17th?
Michael, it froze. I couldn't hear the question.
Oh, hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but it froze there and I couldn't hear the question.
Oh, okay. Let's try it one more time. Okay. It's been 2 weeks after March 17th. Can you tell me how you feel, your emotions, your mental health, everything behind after March 17th? How you feel, man?
I feel great. I feel great faith in the Cuban people. I think that there's a nonviolent grassroots popular movement growing in Cuba, seeking what Cubans have sought throughout their history, freedom, libertad. And I see the proud and good people of Santiago de Cuba, Bayamo, Manzanillo. That's where Cuban identity was born. And I see them in the streets being disciplined in their nonviolence, resisting repression and calling for change, calling for the right to elect their own leaders, calling for the right to be free, calling for access to food and to basic items, which communism regulates and the dictatorship keeps from the people. So I feel very proud of my people. I feel very proud of those who are on the streets protesting. And I must say, since July 11, 2021, the protests haven't stopped. Cubans have not stopped going to the streets since that date. The demonstrations that took place March 17 have been the largest, but it's an ongoing popular movement, organic movement for change.
Yes, and just a two-part question. Where were you when this happened? Because I always ask people, you know, because I interviewed a couple of people, where were you when this happened and what was your reaction?
I was in my house and I got a phone call from Antunes. Antunes is a former political prisoner who spent 18 years in Castro's prisons, often referred to as the Mandela of Cuba. And he told me, our brothers in the East have risen. There's demonstrations. And I began to see what was coming out little by little through videos. And, you know, seeing those thousands of young people peacefully demonstrating in the streets of Bayamo, in a country where there's so much fear, where demonstrations are put down all the time, seeing them march in the streets of Bayamo and singing the Cuban national anthem. The Cuban national anthem was composed in Bayamo, in that city. And singing that anthem when they were faced by police repression, it just, you know, activated and multiplied every single Cuban cell in my body, because that is the apex of our history. That's the circle coming around fully. Cubans connecting with their roots, with the roots in the independence struggle, in the anti-slavery struggle to combat this new colonialist and slave ideology, which is communism.
And what was your feeling? Was it like another sense of optimism? Because that's another thing too. I'm hearing like a kind of like a lot of people were happy that was happening again, but then you still have some people that say there's another one. There's like nothing's gonna change. So was there like another sense of optimism this time around? Like not giving up on the people?
It's not optimism in that I think that everything in the future will be better. It's optimism in that I know that what they're doing is right. It's true. It reflects reality. It reflects the most reasonable of petitions, and therefore I know it'll win. And those of us who've been studying the Cuban social movement for years know that they've reached a stage now where the streets belong to the people. And when the people want to take the streets, they take them. And that consciousness of struggle will lead to reconquering freedom and reestablishing democracy in Cuba.
There's something that's been bugging me, and maybe you might be the person that could probably give me an answer with this. What is it about Cuba that is not getting the same attention as to oppose what's going on with Israel and Palestine with me? Because, you know, me living in Massachusetts, I didn't see it, you know, on CNN or NBC, not even on Fox News. And they're pretty much Republican. That's something that Cubans vote heavily. And I did not see it this time around as big as it was with July 11th. So what is it about us that doesn't get the attention it should be?
I think the answer is complex. I think in general, there's a bias against news from Latin America in U.S. media. How much news do you see about Latin America, period? And there's some very important things going on in Latin America. I think that also there's a lack of consistent coverage about the Antilles, the Caribbean. How much news do we see about Cuba, Haiti, Puerto Rico? There's Jamaica, Bahamas. There's a very general bias against the news from there. Number three, you know, Cuba is conveniently used as a model for those who want to advocate socialism in their own countries. So when there's bad news coming out of Cuba, those elites, which are in key institutions which generate news, don't want the world to know that communism doesn't work in Cuba, socialism doesn't work in Cuba, and the people of Cuba are rising against the so-called People's Republic because it doesn't represent them. So I think it's a combination of an overall bias against news from Latin America, and also as a general bias on Cuba because of ideology. And also because we can't underestimate the extreme, extremely dangerous conflicts taking place in Ukraine, taking place in Israel, taking place in Taiwan. Those are very powerful events. They're very newsworthy, and they do monopolize attention. So I think it's a combination of all these factors.
That's it. Okay, that's a good point, because when I see like the articles on the internet, and even when I see things on the news, one of the things that bugs me is when you see the coverage is you see Cuba protesting for food and electricity, and you barely hear them say also protesting at the government. And if you do see a sentence like that, it's like this small. It's like they talk about it really, really brief, and they just bypass that and talk about the food, the water, electricity, and somewhere around it is like the embargo's fault. So it's just frustrating.
You know, I just want to mention this, Michael, and I think it's an important fact. Up to 1959, Cuba was an agricultural power. Mm-hmm. Cuba fed itself, which is very difficult for a developing country to do, and it exported food. Cuba was competitive in the U.S. markets in agricultural products. The communist statist policies, which took effective control of the land and the crops and the animals from Cuban farmers and turned them over to the state, crippled Cuban agricultural production. And we're at the point where Cuba imports 100% of what it eats. So thanks to communism, Cuba is more dependent than ever on the U.S., on Canada, on other European powers that feed it. And that's happened under communism. Cuba was far more independent in its food production under the governments of the Republic before communism than it is now. So the embargo doesn't cover food. Cuba wouldn't eat if the embargo covered food, because they're getting the food from democratic countries. They're getting it from Europe. They're getting it from the U.S. They're getting it from Canada. So what we're seeing in Cuba is a poverty that has been brought about in what was once one of the most prosperous countries in Latin America by failed communist policies. They don't work. They don't work when you insert the state into the daily lives of individuals and you control their ability to grow, to work, to prosper, to produce, to own. Cubans don't own their own labor. Cubans don't own their own property. Cubans have every single economic freedom restricted by the state. And that has led to the generalized poverty that you see in the island. And on top of that, you have a highly restrictive society where there's no freedom of the press. There's no freedom of education. Religious expression is persecuted. So you created a terrible situation where people don't want to live under those conditions. And they keep on rising for freedom. But the regime has proven, because of its repressive ability, capable of putting down these revolts. But they will continue until we are free again, because that is the great commandment. That is the great need of Cuban history, that Cubans find their freedom.
You know, there's so much I want to unpack here. I know we got a little time here, but now I got to put my conspiracy hat for a quick second, because it's funny you mentioned it. I spoke to my mother today, and you just mentioned, like, next to America, Cuba was probably like the most produced country in the Western Hemisphere. So my mother, you know, one thing about Cubans, especially people from her age, they're paranoid and their conspiracy bug is like through the roof. So she said that, you know, it's probably was a setup that the America didn't want us to succeed because we were so dependent within ourselves that we didn't need it. And I know during that time, America was very, like, had their hands on other Latin American countries. that to the point that Cuba was like, you know, we could pretty much succeed without y'all. And she said, you know, it's something about that, because if like, if you guys were against communism, but then you let this man take over and didn't even bother put up a fight, you know, it's something that doesn't sit right within the situation. But one of the things that I also want to talk about real quick, with the UN, every year they're always big on lifting up the embargo, except for the U.S. and Israel. What is it with the UN that we all know what's going on, but still they want to back up the dictatorship with their oppressive ways? What is it with them that, for whatever reason, you know, even though everybody in the world know what's going on, they still want to side with the dictatorship and still want them to have that part that we know that they can't have, which is the embargo being lifted?
Yeah, I'm going to link your mom's thought and with what happens in the UN, if you'll give me a few minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think your mom's totally wrong. The most impressive economic miracle in Latin America in the 20th century was Cuba's growth from the moment of independence in 1902 to the moment of the downfall of the Republic in 1959. In the first 10 years of independence, Cuban production increased almost at a 20% level. It was amazing. Cuba independence was the best option for Cubans. And Cubans, with what they had, they began to build a very solid foundation of democracy. By the 1950s, the Cuban peso was on par with the dollar. Cuba had some of the largest gold reserves of all Latin America. In terms of salaries, in terms of literacy, Cuba was leading the hemisphere. Now, I do believe that there was, within the U.S. government and in U.S. civil society, there was a strong leftist movement which saw socialism in Cuba as very convenient in order to sell socialism in the U.S. And it's very well documented how people within the State Department, even people within the CIA, helped Castro come to power in the 1950s. I'm not defending Batista. It was a dictatorship. It was an authoritarian state where there were still a lot of freedoms, because there was an open free press that criticized Batista, that published Fidel Castro's articles. There was a Congress with opposition members in Congress that also voted against the government. So there was an independent labor union movement, et cetera, which pales in comparison to the total restriction on freedoms we have in Cuba today. It's a myth that Cuban governments were completely subservient to Washington or controlled by Washington. Over and over again, Cuban governments stood up to the U.S. and knew how to negotiate and knew how to broaden their own field of expertise. For example, the first time Cuba sold sugar to the Soviet Union was under Batista, not under Castro, because Cuban governments, you know, were very conscious of the independence of Cuba. Mm-hmm. I believe that in the minds of many leftist ideologues in the U.S., and to this day, Noam Chomsky is still doing it, socialism in Cuba was a convenient myth to propagate and advocate for socialism in their own countries. And Fidel Castro's speech, what he said, fit right into what these people were calling for. Very slow growth of the population, low consumption. Castro would pride himself on that, you know, to the point that Cuba today has a negative negative birth rate. Cuba is a Latin American country that is not reproducing itself. Every year there are fewer Cubans. That's a result of communism. It's a result of statist policies which wreck the ability of the country to produce and grow. So I don't think your mom's totally wrong. And I think that many of the governments in the UN reflect this ideology of trying to justify socialism through Cuba. It's not about what Cuba needs. It's not about what Cuba as a reality has a right to. It's about trying to justify an ideology based on the poverty and on the wretched life of a good people. I don't know if I made sense in what I told you, but it's perfect what I feel when I've studied.
Perfect sense. But that's why I need you here for these minutes, man. That's why I need you here, and the people from Boston needs to hear this, because one of the things that I always talked about with shout out to Kia and Yvette, every time I speak to them, it's like, we got to get this information outside of Miami, because every time we talk about Cuba, they think it's a Miami thing, or it's a Republican Miami thing, or it's a white Cuban thing. And they're like, no, my mom feel it the way you feel it. My father feels the way they feel it. It's a Cuban thing. So if you're Cuban, you're equally oppressed and all messed up. So we have to send this information out and try to give as much gems as we can to the audience, because a lot of people don't know what's going on, especially here in Massachusetts. So I try to do my part and try to give as much as that information as possible. And it's crazy because I wasn't even born in Cuba. I was born in the States, but just hearing what, you know, my parents went through, what my grandfather went through, because that's a whole nother episode. You know, like, I just had to bury him and he died without seeing, you know, a free Cuba. So now I'm taking that more personal than ever. So I just want to do my part to serve the community.
Michael, it makes me very proud to know you and to hear you. I will say this. Cuba is a unique national identity, as unique as our soil. The Cuban soil is unique in the world because of its combinations of minerals and its fertility. It took communism to make that soil infertile, and it'll be fertile again. The same thing with Cuban national identity. You can't project onto Cuba the history of the U.S. Cuba has a unique identity. It has unique racial relations that were developed over time in Cuba. The components of Cuban national identity are more complex than most Americans understand about how we see ourselves and how we deal with ourselves. So, you know, it makes me feel, even when it comes from left-wingers, or especially from left-wing people, that there's an attempt at ideological colonization of Cuba. They want to summarize, they want to simplify the history of my nation to satisfy somebody else's ideological narrative. No, Cubans are a reality, man. They're a reality with a deep history, with very complex symbols and meanings in our own history, and those cannot be simplified down to Fidel Castro and his 9-hour speeches in front of captive masses.
Yeah, they were long as hell. Can you tell my audience the event that happened a couple of days after the March 18th? And was that at the Museum of the Bay of Pigs? The event that happened I saw pictures out there. The speech with El Funky, yourself.
Oh, Tina. Yeah. We had a really good event. We had an event at something called La Casa del Preso Político, the home of former Cuban political prisoners.
Okay.
And in that event, we showed dozens of videos which have arrived from Cuba, where the Cuban people, from housewives to workers to farmers to students, are calling for a national strike, a nonviolent means through which to bring about change in the island. And then El Funky, who's a very well-known Grammy Award-winning rapper, the national strike. This is an idea that is coming from different committees throughout Cuba who are advocating this nonviolent type of resistance in order to bring about change in Cuba. And we had a very successful press conference with a lot of press, a lot of people participating. And, you know, I love Assembly of the Cuban Resistance events because they're a sample. They're a good way to see that diversity of Cuba, that diversity and the unity of Cuba. And that event was really a very important event. And I think there's going to be more coming about that song. That song has taken off. It's got dozens of people seeing it in Cuba and abroad. And I'm very happy. I'm very proud to know Funky, to consider him my friend. And he's very creative. And this song is a very powerful song.
And don't you worry about it, because I'm playing that song tonight. So I'm playing it for the station. So
great.
Yes.
Great.
So
let's talk more about, there's more news coming with that song.
Yeah, bet. We'll talk later. We'll talk later after about that song. But a couple of things we get out of here. And afterwards, there was a manifestation on last Sunday.
Sunday? Man, that was we called for a walk for freedom and in support of the national strike in Cuba. In a historic section of Little Havana, we walked from the Bay of Pigs Monument to the home of the former political prisoners. We had hundreds of people come out on a Sunday morning, on an Easter Sunday morning. We had not Easter Sunday, it was the week before. And we had hundreds of people come out, a lot of media. And there we stated our support for that nonviolent movement in Cuba for change, for our people in the streets, and for the time that Cubans can regain their freedom. Cubans are not less than anybody else. Cubans have the same right to freedom of speech, to freedom of association, freedom of religion, freedom to elect their own leaders that anybody else in the world has. And I'm tired of Cubans being discriminated out of some kind of obeisance to this primitive socialist ideology. No, Cubans have the right to pick where they want to go, who they want to go with, and how they do it. And that return of sovereignty to the Cuban people is the goal of our life.
Okay, well said, well said. Two more questions before we get out of here. After March 17, what has been the ordeal with Cuba, meaning like any number of people that have been jailed, arrested or missing, any number on that right now?
I know we know of at least 50 arrests from the demonstrations in Santiago and Bayamo of young people. We're getting more and more information now. But the regime is fearful. They know they're facing a giant. The giant is that the Cuban nation is awakening. The Cuban nation is finding its strengths in itself. And when I see young Cubans and Cubans marching in the streets and using their flag and their national anthem as the symbols of resistance, I know that they're breaking with communist indoctrination. They're breaking with totalitarianism in their mind, and they're affirming that there's more to Cuba than communism. There's far more to Cuba than communism. Communism is a dark chapter in Cuban history, but the rest of Cuban history is full of potential for the Cuban people to find happiness and to find freedom at last.
And my last question, the protest that happened that you went to in D.C. 2 weeks ago, I think it was.
We did a protest by
the embassy.
You know, I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to speak about this. That vicious regime in Cuba has sent Cuban soldiers to fight all of Russia's wars. Cubans were sent to fight in Angola, sent to fight in Ethiopia, were sent to fight in Algeria. They even fought in the Middle East against Israel. And now they're being sent to fight with the Russian army in Ukraine, invading the Ukrainian people. I think over a dozen Cubans have already been killed in that imperialist war of Russia against Ukraine. That terrible thing that's going on.
Yeah.
And also, a Cuban has been captured and he has been shown by the Ukrainian authorities. So we want to demonstrate against the regime that is sending these young men to fight in a war that has nothing to do with Cuba, nothing to do with our values or our interests, and against a peaceful people, the Ukrainians, who've never heard Cuba. And we had a demonstration in front of the intersection of the Cuban embassy, in Washington, D.C.
Well, I mean, there's so much I want to say with so little time. But again, thank you, my friend, for taking the time, your busy schedule. You definitely got to come to Boston and do this on air live at the station.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so we'll definitely try to get you up here soon. We're gonna end the show here with Pate Villa for you guys, because as you know, that's been the national anthem I've been playing every time I bring a Cuban issue out here. But this has been your boy, Cuban Mike. Orlando, thank you again for taking time
on your
schedule. We'll definitely go do some work. We're definitely going to talk. And again, guys, you know what I do here when I talk about the situation, man. I ain't stopping till Cuba's free, till my people is free. If you're a combination, not my friend. Till next week, y'all. 6 to 7, 102.9 Tape Deck.
Y eres tú mi canto de sirena, porque con tu voz se van mis penas. Y este sentimiento ya es tan viejo, tú me dueles tanto aunque estés lejos.
Hoy yo te invito a caminar por mis solares, para demostrarte de que sirven tus ideales. Somos humanos aunque no pensemos iguales, no nos tratemos ni dañemos como animales. Esta es mi forma de decírtelo. Llora mi pueblo y siento yo su voz. Tú 5'9", yo doble 2. 60 años, trancada al dominó. Mambo del platillo a los 500 de La Habana. Mientras en casa las cazuelas ya no tienen jama. ¿Qué celebramos si la gente anda deprisa? Cambiando Che Guevara, llama al tipo la divisa. Todo ha cambiado, ya no es lo mismo. Entre tú y yo hay un abismo. Publicidad, un paraíso, un varadero. Mientras las madres lloran por sus hijos que se fueron.
Se acabó,
tu 5-9, yo doble 2.
Ya se acabó,
60 años, trancado dominó. Mira,
se acabó, tu 5-9, yo doble 2. Ya se acabó, 60 años, trancado dominó.
Somos artistas, somos sensibilidad. La pisoteada, a punta de pistola y de palabras que hoy son nada.
No más mentiras, mi pueblo pide libertad, no más doctrina. Ya no gritemos patria o muerte, sino patria y vida. Y empezar a construir lo que soñamos, lo que destruyeron con su mano.
Que nos siga corriendo la sangre, porque en el pensar diferente. ¿Quién le dijo que es Cuba de usted? Si mi Cuba es de toda mi gente.
Se acabó.
Ya se venció tu tiempo, se rompió el silencio.
Ya se acabó.
Ya se acabó la risa y el llanto ya está corriendo.
Se acabó.
Y no tenemos miedo, se acabó el engaño.
Ya se acabó.
Ay, eso se sentido haciendo daño.
Aquí vivimos con la incertidumbre de pasado plantado. 15 amigos puestos, listos pa' morirnos. Izamos la bandera todavía, la represión del régimen al día. Anameli Ramos firme con su poesía. Omar Arrijo Tiola dándonos aliento de vida. Rompieron nuestra puerta, violaron nuestro templo. Y el mundo está consciente de que el movimiento San Isidro continúa.
Seguimos
puesto.
Seguimos en la misma, la seguridad metiendo prisma. Esas cosas a mí como me indignan. Se acabó el enigma de esa tu revolución maligna. Soy Funky Style, aquí tienen mi firma. Y ustedes están sobrando, ya no les queda nada, ya se van bajando. El pueblo se cansó de estar aguantando. Un nuevo amanecer estamos esperando.